graduate school in Berkeley and the San Francisco Bay Area in the 1970s was a very interesting experience. I attended Star King School for the Ministry on a hill about two blocks from the University of California, Berkeley, and they called it Holy Hill because there was a Unitarian seminary and an Episcopal Divinity School seminary. There was a Jesuit seminary. There was the Graduate Theological Union itself, which was for PhD candidates. There was the Pacific School of Religion. There was a Franciscan school. And we formed a consortium of theological schools so that we could take courses. I could take courses in any of the different seminaries, and they offered roughly 900 courses a year. And they had a relationship with UC Berkeley so that I could take courses in undergraduate or graduate classes there. They also had a relationship with Stanford, but I didn't have a car, so I never went down there. I could have spent my entire life there. It was a wonderful experience. One of the affiliates was a Tibetan Buddhist meditation center. And I remember a friend of mine who was studying for the ministry who signed up for an entire weekend of learning how to meditate at the Tibetan Buddhist center. And when it was over, I asked Jane, how was it? And she says, well, she says, we were all supposed to follow the instructions and then sit in silence for periods of time. But there was one person who had trouble with the silence and kept speaking in a kind of a loud whisper. And it was hard not to listen to what she was saying. She kept saying, they stole Alan's ashes. I just can't believe it. Someone broke into the house and they took, right off the mantel place, they took Alan's ashes. And she says, finally, during a break, I said to somebody, who is that annoying woman who keeps talking during the silences? And they said, well, she's married, was married to Alan Watts and lived in Marin County. And Alan Watts had died and been cremated, and she kept her husband's ashes on the mantelpiece, and somebody broke in and stole them. And because of her status as being married to Alan Watts, nobody told her to stop talking during the silences. But being silent in meditation is not easy. I learned a basic exercise in meditation while I was at the seminary. And then one of the requirements in order to learn to be a Unitarian Universalist minister is that we spend at least 10 weeks and sometimes longer as a hospital chaplain under the supervision of an experienced chaplain. So I signed up for a hospital in San Francisco where I was one of six chaplains, the only student chaplains, the only Unitarian. They had in the hospital an alcohol treatment program, which was run, it ran for 3 weeks. You would enter the program at any time, but you would stay for 3 weeks and cover all the material that they taught you and the therapy groups and so on. So I was in an alcohol treatment program as the chaplain for 10 weeks, so I went through it three times and learned an enormous amount. I was in my mid-20s and knew nothing about drug addiction or alcoholism and learned tremendously from the doctors and the nurses and the counselors on the staff. One evening, I was at the hospital and one of the staff was leading a discussion among the clients who were staying there at the hospital, an evening discussion. And the discussion was about how to live your life after you left the program in preparation for them leaving after 3 weeks. I happened to sit down next to a woman who had just been admitted a few days before. Let's say her name was Joan. And she was in her mid-40s. She had a baggy sweater and pink slacks. Her Hair had been dyed blonde several months ago, but now her natural brown hair was growing out. The therapist in charge of the group, let's say her name was Jane, Jane started to lead the discussion that night about what plans members of the group had for when they finished the treatment program. How would they adjust their lives given what they had learned about alcohol addiction? As the discussion progressed, Joan kept talking out of turn and interrupting the process of the group. Now, Joan was trying to speak clearly and rationally. She's trying to cope in a reasonable way with what was going on around her, but she wasn't really able to do so. Her comments were almost appropriate, but not quite. And she was aware that she was falling short of making sense, and she kept trying harder. Her voice grew lower, her statements more confused. Tears started to form in her eyes. And everyone in the group was quiet, the rest of the people. They looked back and forth from Jane, who was leading the group, to Joan. And Jane looked at me and said, "Chaplain Fritz, will you take Joan to her room?" Well, I took Joan's hand and I asked her to lead me. She walked slowly. Tears were falling from her eyes. We reached her room at the hospital, and she lay down on her bed, and I sat in a chair next to her, holding her hand. And I wondered, what could I do to help this woman? The minutes passed. Joan talked. She was rambling. I remembered a conversation I'd had with a nurse at the hospital, and the nurse had told me, we'd gone to lunch together, and she told me about an emotional breakdown that she had experienced several years before. And I asked the nurse, "Well, what helped you?" She said, "Simplify. As much as possible, reduce all the things going on around to their simplest components. Little noise, few people, a small room, little movement, little talking." I said, did you want to be alone? And she said, "No. I wanted someone to help me simplify, to help me concentrate. The problem was that my mind kept rapidly jumping from one anxious thought to the next. I needed to slow down, to focus in on just one thing." As I sat with Joan, I also remembered a lecture that I had had from a teacher of Buddhism from the Tibetan Buddhist Institute in Berkeley. Breathing, said the teacher. That is the foundation. Breathing is a natural, effective tool. Whenever your mind becomes scattered, use your breathing as a means to take hold again. Well, I looked at Joan lying there talking, and I listened to her fragmented sentences. I was not an expert on counseling or meditation, but no one else was there just then to help her. So I decided to try. "Joan," I said, "I want you to think about your breathing." She told me she couldn't sleep at night. I said, "Right now, just think about your breathing." She told me she had to make her bed. I said, "Well, for the moment, just think about your breathing." She told me she didn't know what I meant. I recall the basic instructions from the start of the Buddhist meditation workshop that I had attended. I told Joan, place your hands over your stomach and feel your stomach moving up and down as you breathe. She told me the clock was ticking too loud, and I picked it up and set it in the hallway. My movements, sitting up, getting the clock, walking to the hallway and coming back, all of it stimulated her mind, and she sat up and she started rambling again. I suggested she lie down again and place her hands over her stomach. I suggested she might close her eyes. I told her to feel her breathing. Just feel her breathing in and out. We went on like this for a few minutes, and slowly she began to calm down, to concentrate, to focus in on this one simple act, to feel the air coming in and the air going out, in and out, in and out. The tears stopped. The talking stopped. She was still awake, but for the first time, she was quiet. It is Sunday morning, September 25th, here in Sarasota. The temperature outside is in the 80s, and there is a scattering of clouds and, as always, a chance of rain. Here in this room, we gather from many different places. Among us this morning, as every Sunday morning, there are many feelings and thoughts. Some of us are restless. Some of us are at peace. Some of us are single, and some of us are in a relationship. Some of us are excited, and some of us are tired. Some of us are new to this church community today, and some of us have worshiped in this community for many years. We see the windows and the walls of this room. We are aware of the chairs in which you sit, the people around you. This September morning, this moment is your time. The spot where you sit is your spot. Relaxing, not worrying about the sounds of people coughing, which is completely normal, or the sounds of cell phones, which are completely normal. Don't worry about any of that. Let's just be together for a moment of silence. Focus your attention for a moment on your body. Are you comfortable? Are you warm or cold? Feel your feet as they rest on the floor. Notice your hands, your arms, your legs, the trunk of your body, your head. Feel yourself sitting in your chair. Is your back resting with ease? Shift around until you feel comfortable and notice your breathing. Don't try to alter your breathing. Do not try to make it longer or shorter. Just simply notice it. In and out. In and out. Try following your breathing and relaxing your muscles. And again, if you need to cough, feel free to do so. Don't worry about the sounds in the room. Just relax and let's be together for a moment of silence. Your breathing is light and even and flowing. You're observing everything happening in your mind. You may find your mind wandering. You may find you're wondering, when will this end? What will happen next? Be aware of the questions, note them, then put the thoughts aside and return your concentration just to your breathing. You may find yourself distracted by a noise or a movement of your body or something else in the room. Let your attention wander to the distraction, note it, let it pass, and then gently return your attention to your breathing. You may find your mind wandering to the events of the past week, a fight with a friend, a new worry about a member of your family, a task you have not completed, a news item that upset you, an action you did that you're not happy about, or perhaps the joy of a warm, friendly greeting by an old friend. Let your mind wander where it wants to go. Let every feeling or thought enter. Be aware of its entrance, and when it leaves, be aware of its exit. Let each feeling, each thought pass, and then gently, as it passes, focus your attention again on your breathing. And again, feel free to cough if you need to do so, and the rest of us will not be bothered by that. Let's be together again for a moment of silence. Imagine yourself as a pebble thrown into a river. Imagine the pebble sinking through the water, detached from everything. It falls the shortest distance possible, finally reaching the bottom. You are like the pebble that has fallen into the river, into a pond, letting go of everything. Nothing is pushing or pulling you. At the center of your being is your breathing. Let's be together for a moment of silence. Take a breath, let it out slowly. Look again at your body. Notice your hands, your arms, your legs, your feet, the chair you are sitting on, the floor your feet are resting on, the people around you, the walls of the room, the windows, the trees, the sky, beyond the windows. and let us be together for a moment of silence. Breathing is a bridge that connects life to consciousness. Breathing unites your body with your thoughts. When your mind becomes scattered, you can use your breath as a means to take hold of your mind again and focus. When you feel out of touch with the transcendent in life, your breathing can serve as a bridge that connects you to the universal and helps you to realize that you are not alone. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength.